Oh my god. Oh, this is what I was gonna tell you. Oh my god.
What? What?
Okay, so I went to
Should we introduce the podcast for
you? No, we'll get there.
Oh, okay.
So I mean outside I just saw two squirrels fighting and a duck giving birth, but we'll get to that too. But before I went to the liquor store today.
Did you get what I think you got?
I did not.
Oh.
They were sold out of Terramana tequila.
Damn. I need to check my liquor store.
But I saw the empty spaces where they're supposed to be. And I was like, do I get Casamigos? And I was like, no, I can't.
Do you get more Coppola wine?
No, I got some champagne.
Popping the bubbly?
So yes, I did wear a mask in the liquor store.
You wore it like this, you're...
And the people seemed annoyed that they couldn't hear me.
Well,
what do you expect?
You gotta scream through the mask.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm looking for the Rocks tequila.
But yeah, so I just when I took the dog out, I saw two squirrels fighting on a fence.
Did you take bets on who was gonna win?
No, they kind of jumped off the fence together.
Oh.
It's kind of like a gladiator.
Like something situation. At the end of like a Vin Diesel movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Vin Diesel.
I also saw. Then we walked by this bush. We saw a duck giving birth.
Are you sure it was giving birth?
Well, I don't know if it was giving birth or it just gave birth. But there, so we walked by this bush. Well, I didn't even see the duck to begin with. It was underneath. It was in the bush, and then the dog starts looking at. I hear this noise. I hear like a. And I look over and I see this duck in the bush and the dog's like, you know, going crazy or whatever. I'm like, oh Jesus. But there was like an eggshell that was cracked like next to it.
It probably gave birth and then the eggshell broke. Probably sad.
Well, I mean that maybe they hatched or something. I don't know.
Oh, well, that's very topical with today's movie.
Yeah. Cause that duck has to take care of some kids.
Which is your favorite movie of all time?
No, not of all time. Out of the ones we've talked about, I rank it very highly.
So the title of the podcast is
This is the Not New Movie Review
2020.
This is the podcast where we analyze an actor's critical successes and losses.
All according to Rotten Tomatoes.
That's right.
Peaks and valleys, and the rivers in between.
Oh, I like that. I'm Ross.
I am Jeremy Wainwright. And we've been taking a long road trip lately in the Vinmobile. And what kind of fuel does the Vinmobile take?
I mean, I'm putting diesel in mine.
Diesel. I'm holding the pump down until it starts overflowing.
Yeah, right.
That's what
yeah.
I've been doing.
Today we're talking about The Pacifier.
Yes, your favorite movie of all time.
Not of all time.
Is that what you told me in privacy?
In confidence?
Is this the most excited you've ever been to talk about a movie?
I think so, to be honest. I was so excited to sit down and watch this movie.
It's been a while for me.
Because I know it's good.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun.
But before we get to that.
What have I been watching?
Please.
Is that what you're going to ask me?
Please.
You just bug me. You just like, you text me at 2 a.m. What have you been watching? What have you been watching?
And then I say, don't tell me. Save it for the show.
Fucking jerking me back and forth. So since I haven't watched a ton, but since we last talked, I will say TV-wise, I've been keeping up with What We Do in the Shadows, the TV show based on the Taika Waititi movie. And it is fucking hilarious. If you haven't watched the show or the movie yet, you need to watch both.
The movie's great. I've seen the movie.
The show is just as good as the movie. I don't know how they managed to capture the magic.
The show, I've seen... It's weird. They're on season 2, right?
Yeah.
So,
that's what I've been watching.
So I haven't seen season 1, but I've seen like 4 episodes of season 2. Just random episodes. Like people watch them at work, so...
It's so funny.
It is.
And then Speaking of which, Taika Waititi directing a Star Wars.
That's true, yeah.
Good luck to him. But then I've been watching Ash vs. Evil Dead.
I've also been catching up on that. Clone Wars is really good.
Yes, I need to start watching Clone Wars as well. It's all on Disney Plus, so that makes it easy. Did you see the Star Wars news today?
No.
The guy who, I forget his name.
I've been pacifier since the moment I woke up.
Well, listen, the guy who, I always forget his name, he played Jango Fett in all the Clone Troopers. He's playing Boba Fett in The Mandalorian Season 2.
Interesting.
I know. I guess it's a small role, but that's all you need Boba Fett for. You don't need a big
Boba Fett. So we're going to see Boba Fett without his helmet on, or no?
I don't know. I truly don't know.
Or is he just going to do the voice or whatever? I guess that would make sense.
Maybe he'll just do the voice. But then, okay, look what I've been watching. So ever since A Man Apart, I watched a movie called VFW that came out this year. A smaller, low-budget, I guess it's a horror movie. It's basically, it has a bunch of, it's basically this movie about these old veterans that they're just trying to live their lives hanging out at this old VFW bar. And these, like, mutant punks that are addicted to this weird drug attack them. And it's bloody and violent and, like, an old John Carpenter movie, and it's awesome. And then, you know who Elvira is, right? Like, the horror.
Elvira.
She's got the big, like, beehive black hair.
From the Addams Family.
No.
Oh, well, from Frankenstein.
You son of a bitch. But
am I wrong?
I just realized how many horror, like, women in horror have the giant beehive hair. No, Elvira was this, she used to have this cable access show in Los Angeles where she would, like,
oh,
she was okay, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. Well, she has a movie. Well, she has two movies, but I'd never seen her first movie, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. Her, it's a comedy, like a dark comedy. It was on Shudder, which is a horror streaming network. So I watched that. It was delightful. And then I watched a movie that I'd never seen in full, but I remember the cover art scaring the shit out of me as a kid. The movie is called Dog Soldiers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Neil Marshall's first movie. That movie, it fucking rips, as the kids say. It's a fucking awesome movie. The werewolves are terrifying. They look cool as shit. It's basically Aliens, but if you replace the aliens with werewolves, like,
it's fucking awesome. I feel so bad for him that he had to do that Hellboy movie from last year.
Well, it would have...
Because he's a good director.
Well, on paper, it sounded like, you know, hell yeah. I mean, I was sad that Guillermo del Toro wasn't getting to make a third one, but I was like, all right, Neil Marshall's a cool director. David Harbour, a cool choice. Maybe this will be cool.
Right.
But I guess the studio interfered a lot and fucked it up. So I won't blame Neil Marshall entirely.
Because he did The Descent, and that movie is terrifying.
That movie is... Oh, God. I mean, I hate fucking caves to begin with. Imagine being in a cave and it's like, oh, there's mutants down here.
Right, so, yeah.
But, and then what else did I watch? I rewatched The Fly, the Jeff Goldblum Fly movie.
I've never seen it.
It's easily Jeff Goldblum's best performance. Easily. And that's saying something because Jeff Goldblum is a timeless actor. I'm switching back to video.
Better than Jurassic Park.
It's so good. It's such a good movie. It's technically it's a remake of the original 1958 one. It's just so gross.
It's in black and white too, right?
No, the No, not even the original's in black and white.
Oh.
But it came out in 1986, but you should watch it if you get the chance. It's so good.
Okay.
Easily my favorite David Cronenberg movie. And then I watched The Pacifier. I do believe. Yeah.
Great movie, The Pacifier. Great movie.
What have you been watching?
I watched, since last week, I watched The Simpsons movie. Very topical. I thought it fit in the times that we're living in.
Oh, yeah, the dome, they're all contained.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that since theaters. I just remember the big talk around it being that you saw Bart's pee-pee.
Right, yeah. It's a good movie. Like, The Simpsons show is kind of hit or miss for me sometimes. But the movie keeps my attention.
I need to roll back and watch, like, the original Simpsons. Obviously, the show that's been going on for, like, 84 seasons.
Yeah.
people say it's like lost its touch, but
and they actually they make a joke in there where they're on a train and and Bart's going through people's luggage and he puts a bra on his head and and he's like, hey, look, I'm the leader of an evil corporation.
Oh, no. Yeah, here we are.
Then I finished.
Disney's going to own all of us.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, you think it's just going to be Disney and Apple and Amazon?
Well, I know movies will probably be Disney. Like, have you ever seen Cloud Atlas?
Oh, what do you...
In the future segment where they're like, they just refer to movies as Disney's.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. What else did you watch, pal?
I finished the Beastie Boys story.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. I mean, it's cool that they did something different with the documentary style.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know if it helped the story. Like, I don't know if it kept me engaged as much as a regular documentary would.
It definitely seemed like a unique approach.
Yeah.
Do you want to admit your big mistake on live on the podcast?
What?
That you thought you got Spike Lee and Spike Jonze confused?
Oh, no, I just thought there was one. I thought it was Spike Lee.
Spike Lee Jones?
Yeah.
Both great directors.
Like, I thought it was Spike Lee,
You thought Spike Lee made Her, or do you think Spike Jonze made Black Klansman? Like, which one?
I thought Spike Lee made Her.
Jesus Christ.
I thought, wow, this guy's got a lot to say. He's got a wide directing style.
Oh, jeez. What else did you watch?
Transformers Dark of the Moon.
The last hour of that movie fucking owns.
It really doesn't. It really doesn't.
No, the last hour of that movie, fucking, as soon as, like, they're locked down in Chicago or whatever, or New York City or wherever they are, and it's just nonstop Michael Bay going to town with fucking robots and shit.
The whole, I mean, I do forgive the Shia trilogy a little bit.
Well, two is dog shit.
Well, that's, okay, see, I gotta rewatch it. See, I really rewatch these because I'm listening to a podcast about that are reviewing them, and this was the only one that was on streaming services, and so I didn't want to hook up the I have them. I didn't want to hook up the player, but I do forgive the Shia trilogy because he makes those movies better for me. And once Mark Wahlberg got in there, it was awful. It was terrible.
I don't know. We
saw that movie at a midnight screening. Pretty sure I fell asleep at one point.
That was awful.
And then I just remember we left at like 3:30 a.m.
Yeah, I got home and the sun was rising.
Yeah. Oh my god. Awful. Terrible.
But I do want to see The Last Night because it has Anthony Hopkins. It has a robot butler. There's fucking Merlin is in it, I guess. you find out that the Transformers were responsible for like Rosa Parks or some shit. Like,
see, like, what are they doing? I don't know.
And I haven't seen Bumblebee, but
I think I did. I think it was kind of average, just because.
No, but I just don't know how you can't think the last hour of Dark of the Moon like doesn't fucking like.
Own. I think it's the opposite. I think the first hour is better for me.
I think the first like 2 hours that movie is, I can only assume, really fucking long, or like, whatever. Oh, so Transformers long. Bullshit. I know, like, there's that one joke where Shia LaBeouf is in the stall of the guy, and it's like, oh, are they having sex? And it's right. Like, I don't care about that stuff. Just let Michael Bay off the fucking leash. That's what I want.
Well, I mean, we have Frances McDormand, John Malkovich, like these AAA dramatic actors in this stupid, dumb Transformers movie.
Well, that's why I don't need that stuff. I don't need that stuff. Just take me, like, I'm going to rank the Transformers movies for you. I haven't seen Five or Bumblebee. Number one, The Last Hour of Dark of the Moon.
Oh, my God.
Number two, Transformers.
Okay.
Number three, the first 2 hours of Dark of the Moon. Number four, Age of Extinction.
Uh-huh.
Wait, no, switch Age of Extinction and the last 2 hours of Dark of the Moon. All the way at the bottom is Revenge of the Fallen. The movie fucking sucks.
Okay, then I watched Back to the Future as a palate cleanser.
A perfect movie.
And I'm halfway through the second one.
It's another great movie. Not perfect, but underrated, I think.
Then I watched Yesterday.
Yeah, I wasn't... I don't know.
It doesn't help.
It doesn't help that I really have no emotional attachment to the Beatles. Like, I think the Rolling Stones are better.
I thought it was an average movie.
Yeah, I didn't even see it. I was like, it's a cool idea, but I don't care enough to go see it.
Then I watched Good Boys.
It's funny, but...
It is funny.
Yeah. It's just funnier than I thought it would be, but, like, it's no Booksmart.
I still haven't seen that.
In terms of, like, coming-of-age movies that came out last year, I know the trailer pissed me off for Good Boys. Like, I didn't laugh at all. I was like, this movie's gonna fucking suck. But then I was like, hey, I have Regal Unlimited. I'm gonna see it for free. Let me go see Good Boys. And I laughed. You know, I had a good time.
Well, I think the writing is great, yeah.
Jacob Tremblay, you know? He's a rising star.
And then just yesterday, I watched the Lego Movie 2, the second part.
Not bad.
I didn't do it for me.
That's not bad. You're wrong.
Didn't do it for me. There were some parts. Like, obviously, the movie looks great. Whatever program they're using.
The way that it meditates on Chris Pratt's career is really cool. How, like, the two Chris Pratts in it, one's, like, the super macho.
Oh, no, you're going to make me like this movie.
Well, no, yeah, because the one's, like, the super macho Chris Pratt that, like, everyone can kind of give or take. Mm-hmm. And the other one's, like, the kind of gentle goofball Chris Pratt I think we all miss. Mm. Like, I don't need to see Chris Pratt be a movie star on it. Or, like, no, I mean an action star. Like, because I don't buy him as, like, he's horrible. Even though I think Jurassic World 2 uses him a little better, but the first Jurassic World, it's bullshit. I don't need him making jokes about having sex in bungalows. But James Gunn used him perfectly as Star-Lord.
Oh, yeah. I mean, do you think Chris Pratt's bank account wants Chris Pratt to be an action star?
100%.
Yeah, right, yeah. And I think that's probably the driving force.
Yeah, that's why he's the least good Chris.
Wow.
But he's still great, though. I'm not saying he's bad.
I don't agree with you there.
Well, who do you think's the worst Chris?
I think in terms of being... I don't know. Who grabs my attention the least is honestly Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth is my favorite, so...
I'm a pine nut. I'm a Chris Pine.
Well, Chris Pine's great, and so is Chris. They're all great, but Chris Hemsworth, I think he's funny. I think he's the most handsome. I just love him.
He is really funny when you tell him to be. Like, he can do either, you know what I mean? Like,
But I also think he's a really good actor, too.
And then this morning, I had to, you know, watch The Pacifier, so.
Yeah, I watched it 2 days ago.
So, before we talk about that, we got to check in with our boy.
Oh, what's he been doing?
Well, we're about to find out here, so.
I'm going to put you up on a pillow.
Do you want to tell them the huge news that was going on?
Oh, well, I wouldn't. Here's the thing. I wouldn't classify it as huge news, but it's great news. Because technically, I feel like every year he tells us this. But the fact that he talks about it every year is so exciting. So, if you're a Vin Diesel fan, you know that his pride and joy, you may think it's the Fast and Furious movies. It's one of his many prides and joys. But his number one ride or die from the start pride and joy are the Riddick movies. He loves the Riddick movies. And there's always been, for the longest time, he said there's going to be a fourth one called Furia, where we go back to Riddick's homeworld. And just this last week, he gave a big update. I guess in the video, wasn't he like dancing, like saying like life is great?
Well, we're about to find out.
Where he's basically like, hey, the newest draft of the script for the new fourth Riddick movie just came in. So hopefully that means we're going to be getting Riddick 4 in the near future.
So in this video, by the way, the Instagram video has nothing to do with what the caption says. So the caption says happy Furion Friday, which I assume is a Riddick thing.
Yeah, Furion is his race in the movies, his species.
The latest Chronicles of Riddick script comes in next week. Grr. And then this is just the video. It's just him.
I don't know how we've been quarantined, and yet Friday around this house, it's like, it's Friday then, it's Saturday, it's Friday then, it's Saturday, I don't know how.
What is he even saying? Just the days of the week?
I like the way he uses social media, because he uses social media like a 40-year-old dad who doesn't know what he's doing.
He had no idea.
But he's probably so proud. He's like, my Instagram's great.
Now, here's another video with the caption, "And a very happy Toretto Tuesday, hashtag Cinco de Mayo."
Oh, yeah.
Let's see what he says here.
Hola, mi gente. Happy Cinco de Mayo, everyone. The thing I love about this holiday is that it reminds us to respect one another, no matter where we're from. And I think that message during these crazy times, that reminder is needed sometimes. So I send you all love. And on this Cinco de Mayo, I remind you all to respect one another. And dare I say, love one another. All love, always. Hola, mi.
Wow, he got really...
he's a beautiful man.
He got really into it at the end there. His voice gets so deep and...
He has a voice.
Oh, yeah, he's got a voice.
He has a voice.
So, yeah, that's what Vin's been doing. He's just been drunk around the house 24/7.
I can't wait for you to watch the Riddick movies.
But today we talk about one of the best Vin Diesel movies, one of the most underrated Vin Diesel movies.
Your favorite movie of all time.
Not quite. Jeremy, can you give us a brief synopsis of this movie?
Agent something Wolf. I forget his first name. Sean Wolf is a Navy SEAL. Shane Wolf. It's such a generic action movie name, but it works.
Yeah.
Is a Navy SEAL who loses an asset in combat, an asset being a man. And what do men have? Families. And penises. But he's then tasked with basically being a live-in nanny for the deceased man's children while his wife goes off on a trip to acquire the rest of the man's assets, because the man was also the architect of a weapons blocking program named Ghost,
which is cool. I mean that's just cool.
It is pretty cool.
So this movie, well, first of all, welcome to the infantry. Disgraced Navy SEAL Shane Wolf is handed a new assignment: protect the 5 plumber kids from enemies of their recently deceased father, a government scientist whose top secret experiment remains hidden in the kids' house. So that's what we got.
And there's a duck. There's a duck. Which, I'll be honest, I will say my biggest problem with this movie, I wanted more duck.
Oh, really?
I forgot. For some reason, I thought the duck was more prominent.
So this movie, directed by Adam Shankman.
Who is the definition of a comedy for hire guy when I looked at his IMDb.
I mean, most notably, Cheaper by the Dozen 2.
Not even the first one.
Rock of Ages. A Walk to Remember. And Hairspray.
Hairspray, the remake. Wow, so he's got...
What is going... What are you doing?
Our producer is giving us some notes. Our producer is actually a huge Adam Shankman fan and did not appreciate my bad-mouthing.
Written by Thomas Lennon.
Of Reno 911 fame.
And Robert Ben Garrett.
Don't know who that is, but...
Also from Reno 911.
The guy the guy... Oh, that makes so much sense. Did you see Reno 911's coming back, but it's coming back as like a Quibi show or whatever?
Yeah, I am not too into that.
You know, I'm going to say it. Quibi can burn in hell.
they're treating it like a tech company rather than like a studio.
Yeah, so I don't want to watch 10-minute fucking shows on my phone.
They've already gotten... $1 billion with a B in funding from all the major studios, including Disney.
Just let it die.
They're not going away. They're not going away anytime soon.
Just let it die.
But yeah, and then I looked into what other movies have they written.
What else have they written, pal?
Oh, why do you say it like that?
I'm genuinely curious.
Okay.
I know they wrote this movie for Jackie Chan originally.
So they have also written, or at least I'm looking at Thomas Lennon right now. They wrote Taxi.
Oh, the Jerry O'Connell, I know, Jimmy Fallon, Queen Latifah film.
Yep. Then they did The Pacifier. Then,
of course,
they did Herbie Fully Loaded.
Oh, the Lindsay Lohan vehicle.
Then,
it's a joke.
Also, Night at the Museum.
Oh, that's a fun movie. Your second favorite movie of all time.
Actually, I've never seen it.
You ever seen Night at the Museum?
No.
It's a fun movie.
Then we got, they obviously wrote on the Reno 911 show.
Of course.
Then Balls of Fury.
Movie I've never seen.
The ping pong movie. Yeah.
I've heard of it, but it's got that one guy in it.
Then
the guy who played Steve Wozniak in the bad Steve Jobs movie.
Yes. Yeah. So that goes up to 2007. Then they kind of took a break until, let me see here. Oh, well, okay. So this is also notable. 2017.
Yeah.
They did the story for another Boy of Ours movie.
Oh, is it a movie? The Rock?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what it could be.
They didn't write it, but they did get story credits.
Baywatch?
That's right.
Holy shit.
That's right. That's crazy.
They like writing for our boys.
But they got, I mean, I didn't realize how many movies that they've written together.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. You know, they're staying busy.
And now Thomas Lennon is like a huge, he's a producer, you know. He has like a production company now that he makes a bunch of.
He's a funny guy.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, this movie's just so fun.
I remember running this movie for Movie Gallery.
I don't even know how I got this movie. I don't know how this movie entered my my brain, my eyes. I don't know.
Your lexicon.
I don't know where I don't know. I don't even remember the first time I watched it.
As a kid, I was a big Vin Diesel fan. Like, I loved Vin Diesel.
Same. So, and I think it went from Fast and Furious to this.
See, my first big Vin Diesel movie was Pitch Black.
Mm-hmm.
And then I loved Vin Diesel. And actually, even as a kid, I recognized how cool it was that they put an action star in a family comedy. Like, as a kid, I was like, whoa, that's right. Not what he... It's like, that's not what he would normally do.
That's true, yeah. So this movie...
I mean, this is it's a common trope for action stars to do a family comedy. You got Kindergarten Cop with Arnie. I'm pretty sure Sylvester Stallone probably did one.
So this was just Vin Diesel's turn, really.
Yeah. I mean, The Rock's done I'd say The Rock is 50% a family star now. 50% an action star. Because the Jumanji movies are pretty much family movies.
Yeah, totally. So this movie had a budget of $56 million.
Damn. They don't really go anywhere.
What?
They don't really go anywhere. That's impressive.
Oh, yeah, right? They just pocket it.
There's the opening chase, I guess.
Opening weekend made 30.
This movie was a hit.
And then worldwide gross 198. So
I am shocked that they haven't, that one of two things hasn't happened. One, they didn't make a sequel.
For real, yeah, right?
And two, I am shocked that Disney Plus has not tried to make this into a TV show.
Oh my God.
I don't think they would bring Vin Diesel back. They would hire someone else, but they would make it like an ongoing show about like a Navy SEAL that's a nanny, you know?
Right, yeah. Oh my God, that'd be great. We got a lot of heavy hitters in this movie.
You got the girl from Gilmore Girls.
Yep.
We got Brittany Snow.
Yep.
The man, the legend, Brad Garrett.
Yeah. Now, do you want to hear my Brad Garrett impression?
Do it.
Okay, this is Brad Garrett. He played the brother on Everybody Loves Raymond.
Everybody knows that.
So this is my impression of him on that show. Ready? No, Ray.
That's not bad.
Yeah, right?
That's not bad. Everybody Loves Raymond, an underrated sitcom.
I've only seen like two episodes.
Ray Romano, an icon.
Now, I will say the girl who played the woman who played the nanny.
Oh, isn't it Carol Keane or whatever? Yeah. Who is it? Kane. Yeah, she's the girl who was in One Stranger Calls, and then she was on Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
I don't know if they made her like more ugly. She looks rough. She looks terrible in this movie.
That's a mean thing to say.
I know.
That's how she normal. That's just her normal look, I think.
You think? I mean,
she always looks worried. Like she always looks scared.
She looks scary.
she looks scary.
But her IMDb picture isn't that bad. Like her IMDb picture isn't bad at all. But she looks, she looked rough in this movie.
She didn't play it. For some reason, I thought she played a bigger part. Granted, I hadn't seen this movie in a while.
She was kind of in and out.
Yeah.
Now, but, like, we
for some reason, I thought she played more of like a part in the plot, but.
We also got Tate Donovan himself.
Who's that?
He played Hercules. He was a dad on one of my favorite TV shows, The OC.
You love that show.
I do love that show. No, I mean, that's kind of it. It's kind of just a handful. Kind of just honed in on just that handful of people.
I'm trying to picture this movie with Jackie Chan.
Now, the boy.
Which boy?
Max Thiereau, the older brother.
The teenage boy?
Yeah, he was in a movie that I saw. He was in a Stephen King movie called My Soul to Take.
That's not a Stephen King movie.
Are you sure? Yes.
It's a Wes Craven movie. You are right.
It's a Wes Craven movie. Spike Jones, Spike Lee.
You're just bad. Hey, just creatives.
But yeah, so I know him from that movie. I don't really know him from anything else. Oh, Jumper. He was your third
favorite movie of all time.
He was the young Hayden Christensen.
The three, like, I hear you talk about The Pacifier and Jumper more than most movies.
Jumper, I would say underrated.
You love those movies.
No, I don't love Jumper. Jumper is just.
And you love, what's that one, like, is like. Oh, what's that fucking movie?
There's a Nicolas Cage movie.
You love National Treasure.
Well, I'm not talking about National Treasure. I'm talking about a Nicolas Cage movie and Jessica Alba in Next, where he can see like one minute into the future.
I always get that mixed up with Knowing, which is about him knowing the future.
No, that's about his son, I think. His son knows the future. Or wait, no, maybe you're right.
I don't know. I don't know. I know Nick Cage is playing Joe Exotic or something. And
yeah, that's true.
So Pacifier.
So what do you like about this movie?
I like that Vin Diesel, as in all movies, gives his 100% his all, and he is committed to playing this role as. I think it's a great performance because I truly buy his evolution from like a hard ass that's like, hey, I gotta watch these fucking kids.
Right, yeah.
To being like, I love these fucking kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I believe it.
And honestly, the kid actors that they got, I mean, they got Brittany Snow and the Max Thiereau, which are probably, they were really good choices at the time. And then also the little girl.
Lucy's great.
Yeah, she really brought it too.
Hey, even the little toddler kid that like shits his pants or whatever, he's good. He's not bad.
Right.
The baby is whatever. There's no such thing as a good baby actor because babies are babies.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't even know if the baby was necessary. It didn't even.
It seemed like one bridge too far because Peter was still shitting his pants.
Right.
So like, Like, that kind of took me off guard at one point. He, like, shits his pants, and I'm like, how old is this fucking kid? Like, he can't talk yet, clearly. Well, he's like, daddy, papa. Like,
right, right. But yeah, like, the baby didn't really do anything to further the story at all.
You know? Just there's just the, you know, he's got to change his diaper.
Yeah, yeah, I guess that's it.
Peter shit his pants enough to fill that role.
He really did. Some things, the things that I like about this movie, the reason why it hits so hard with me is honestly, this movie doesn't need to be as good as it is.
No.
I think that the acting, obviously, we just talked about kind of brings it. And then also like the editing is good. Like the editing isn't cheesy. There's not too many like cheesy kid things that happen.
Well, I mean, it's more or less just like a movie that would 100% just be a Disney Channel original movie in any other universe.
Yeah, the only reason it went to a theater is because you got Vin Diesel and a couple other names that cost a little bit more money.
And then what was I going to say? Although I do have one question. How about those song choices?
Oh my God, you cannot get better than a Smash Mouth montage. I mean, I'm just the simple plan montage, everyday superhero.
the freaking Simple Plan montage.
Yeah, I mean,
such music of the time.
For 2005, you cannot get better than that.
This movie came out in 2005?
Yeah.
That makes me feel so old.
I mean, that's 15.
Jesus Christ.
Jeez, 15 years.
I was 12. Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, wow.
We're all going to die someday. I was 19.
I don't even know.
You are not 19.
I don't know. How old was I? What was that? 4 plus 5, 9? I guess I was 9. I will say
a moment that I forgot the conclusion to, that when I first saw it, I was like, holy fuck, what's happening? Is when they find the Nazi thing in his locker.
Right, in this movie, yeah, you wouldn't expect that from a kid's movie.
Well, here's the thing. I forgot that it was because he was in a musical, and for half a second, I was like, holy shit, does this kid get mixed up with skinheads?
Right? That's what they make you believe, because he dyed his hair.
I'm like, holy shit.
Right? And honestly, even for 2005, I'm sure that was some kind of like... Like, are we really going to put this in a kid's movie?
People did not like that at the time, I can imagine. But they did. They probably weren't able to vocalize as much.
But you, like, really couldn't do that now.
No.
Like, when I was kind of watching this movie as if they made it yesterday. And when he pulled out the Nazi thing, I was like, whoa.
Like, did Mickey Mouse approve of this?
Oh, no. No. That's the thing that they would cut out of the TV show.
Disney
the
Plus. Whole, or, yeah. And I bet you if this movie's on Disney Plus, they pull out the Nazi thing.
Oh my God. I didn't even think about that. I didn't even think to look it up on Disney Plus.
I forgot this movie is a Disney movie until at the beginning it was like, well, Disney Pictures.
Right, yeah. That's why I looked it up. That's why I just looked it up on Hulu or on HBO to begin with.
Well, I just asked my Apple TV where it was streaming.
That's what I did too. And it just came up with HBO.
Don't copy me.
That's what you just say. You say you talk. It's 2020.
Let's move
on. You talk
on.
Into the remote and you say, order me a pizza. And, you know?
Wait, can you order pizza through the Apple TV?
I don't know.
That would be incredible.
I know you can through an Alexa. You can say like, Alexa, order me my number 2 order from McDonald's or whatever. And then
it just Xbox off.
Yeah. But, now, some things that did, like, there was a couple, like, mid-2000s editing things that they used to do that, like, definitely wouldn't work today, I don't think. Which was, like, the part where the nanny is like, biting him on his on his arm or whatever. Remember that?
A little unnecessary.
Well, no, that I don't mind. But there's, When he like rips her off and she runs out the door or whatever, he turns his head and he says, "She bit me, but his lips are not moving at all. Like they.
Oh,
they,
I noticed that a couple times.
They clearly just added that line in after the fact, and you know, hope that you just wouldn't see it.
Though I will say the one of the things that didn't work super well for me was the whole Brad Garrett thing is fun. Like, I love Brad Garrett, but like every time we came back to Brad Garrett, I was kind of like, okay, how long are we going to draw this out for?
Hold on, I'm going to do a second take of my micro impression.
No, Ray.
That's basically, he's like, oh, I'm the Murderinator.
Yeah, right.
Although I did appreciate when they do get to the wrestling match, the whole school is cheering for him to get his ass kicked.
Now, here's the thing that I didn't understand. There's a couple things I don't understand about this movie.
You're saying the logic isn't airtight?
The logic is not airtight.
So you're admitting your favorite movie has flaws.
Oh, 100%. This movie is this movie is filled with holes. I mean, it's leaking water. Or it's taking on water. We got the first thing was when he gets to the school.
Yeah.
Well, okay, no, let's back it up before that. When he gets to the house, mm-hmm. and she's like, you know, they obviously told her he was coming. Oh, professor or whatever, Navy SEAL, you know, what's his name? Shane. You know,
Shane Wolf.
Shane, Navy SEAL Wolf. Oh, thank God you're here. You're going to watch my kids. I've never even met you before in my entire life. But I guess you were with my husband when he was shot, blown up or whatever.
You're basically the reason my husband got shot.
Exactly. Yeah. You took your eyes off him. You fucker. So anyway, so then he goes, before you head out the door in 5 minutes, I'm going to take a look around. And we immediately go into a montage of him setting up traps.
Oh yeah,
around the house, and like him drilling in a camera or whatever. And I just imagine her like packing up her last second suitcase items or whatever, and she's looking out the kitchen window and sees him installing a tripwire.
She's just like, oh, what a good man.
The second thing was. Okay, this isn't a hole, but that just popped into my head. The duck is such a mid-2000s thing. Like, there always has to be some kind of weird barn animal.
Fun animal. Yeah. Do you think it's because of Home on the Range?
I have no idea.
Animal fever was high.
I think this guy, Adam, what was his name? Andrew? Adam?
Adam Shankman.
Adam Shankman. I think he has connections to some animal wrangler because of like Cheaper by the Dozen. I'm sure they had some kind of duck in there too.
Was Steve Martin in the second Cheaper by the Dozen?
He was, yeah.
Oh, that poor man.
What else? Oh, so more holes. Now the second thing was when he gets to the school.
Yeah.
And, you know, he meets the principal, they have a female principal. Got to give credit to that.
Played by the girl from Gilmore Girls.
Yep. She, you know, they connect over the military, like, oh, military, cool.
Which is kind of cool, you know.
And, you know, she actually becomes a love interest and gets to kiss the Diesel at the end.
Ooh, which, like, I'm jealous.
Yeah, I know, right? We haven't even gotten to the pinnacle of our... What we need to talk about.
We need to talk about what the final shot of this movie is, but we'll also get there.
So then he's like, permission to stay on school property and spy on kids all day. And she goes, permission granted.
Yeah. Nowadays it'd be like, if you want to go to jail, fucker.
No, you can't even, in the mid 2000s, I don't even think you could do that, but. Anyway, he's like
if you like look at a school for too long nowadays, you get arrested.
Yeah, yeah. You have to cross the street if you want to go to that 7-Eleven that's right next to the school.
You don't walk by the school.
Third thing was, I think this is probably the last hole that I saw. There's probably more, but this is the last one. When he challenges him
the Murderinator.
Yeah, the Murderinator to the wrestling match, you know. There's like a little group of kids around them. And by the way, the Myrninator, totally homophobic.
Yeah, he's a terrible person.
He goes, hey, like, okay, after school, Ray, me and you.
He calls her, he's like, babysitter.
Yeah. And then
he calls him Frogman.
Doesn't he say go get a haircut?
or something. As if he's like, if you're not too busy getting a haircut.
Yeah.
Which, you know, he's bald, you know.
Right. So then after school, you know, gym full of kids. Right? Did they make flyers? Was this word of mouth? Why how was there such a big crowd in this gymnasium?
I feel like the kids hate him that much that they're like, it took was like one word. Or maybe the school is just really boring and like, hey, we'll go watch our gym.
I don't know if you guys have noticed, there's a big muscular man in a tank top. He's been on school grounds for about a week.
Staring at us through binoculars.
He's going to kick the Myrninator's ass.
It's like, hey, I got nothing better to do.
So yeah, I think that's the holes. That's all the holes that I saw. Or, you know.
Were there any yellow-spotted lizards in any of those holes?
No.
Do you get the reference?
It's escaping me right now. I don't know.
The movie Holes, the yellow-spotted lizards.
Oh, shit. Oh, damn. Yeah. Oh, you got me on that one. You got me.
So the final shot of this movie.
Whoa, wait.
Okay.
We got to talk about one of the best scenes, in my opinion. I don't know if we get this a lot.
The Peter Panda dance?
No. Oh, that's... We got to talk about that next. No, shirtless. Shirtless Vin Diesel.
When do we see him shirtless?
Oh, my God. He takes a shower, and then he goes downstairs to get some...
What?
Oh, my God. Don't tell
me
you
missed this. Did you watch the unrated cut?
I think I did, yeah. No, okay, so he goes downstairs to get something from the fridge, right? And he's wearing a towel over his Diesels. And his totally shirtless, smooth as a
cucumber.
Smooth as a cucumber, so chiseled. No hair at all, no hair to be seen anywhere.
I'd crack open that six pack.
You know, and the little horny, the little horny teenage Girl Scouts.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. I remember that scene. They're all like, ooh.
Yeah. So then he has to like cover himself up. I mean, how good does he look right there?
He looks fucking fantastic.
Yeah, he looks good. Are you Googling it? I see you. I see you, looking something up.
So Peter Panda dance. That's the thing that I remember the most from this movie. Is ingrained in me is the Peter Panda dance.
Of course.
Can you do it by memory?
Okay. All right.
When you're feeling low, lower than the floor,
and you feel Jamie, like you don't you have a chance.
Bum, bum, bum. Get in the groove till you start to move. Hop forward twice. Lay on the floor. Like, you just... No, that's the Peter Panda dance. We did it.
Hold your breath, step to the left, boom.
Which, the fact that the father had the time to build this fucking trap-ridden, like, metal cave safe thing in the basement.
I mean, that's the thing. We're talking about a government engineer, you know? He hangs out in the garage. This is what he does.
It's what dudes do, you know?
Yeah, it's what dudes do. So, of course, he built some kind of fortress underneath the garage.
Yeah, you want to know another thing that doesn't work for me is the army general just twisting. Like, all of a sudden, he's like...
It is very sudden. It's so sudden.
And then another thing that, like, is unfortunate is the fact that I don't know if it's unfortunate, but the fact that the North Korean neighbors turn out to be the bad guys.
But do you appreciate the script in the way that everything is kind of connected? Like,
a little bit. It is, you like know, the neighbors are only in one scene.
But this pointless dance or whatever that he uses for his
kid. That is good.
is used is for, to, you know, to hide this.
No, that is good. I'm not even saying that him building the underground safe is a plot point. It's just, obviously, there's a certain level of ridiculousness you have to allow in a movie like this. Sure, and that fits, yeah, that fits within that. But no, they're using the Peter Pan to dance as the hidden, like, dance key to get into the safe is pretty cool.
And I think, you know, another cool part was in the beginning when he uses the kids' names to open up the briefcase.
Oh, yeah.
And then Vin Diesel tries to do that with...
the safe.
The safe, yeah.
And he gets electrocuted.
Yeah.
All right, so the final shot of this movie. Brad Garrett, the gym teacher, or the mm-hmm. vice principal, the horrible wrestling coach that gets his ass beat by Vin Diesel. Some reason he decides to play a singing nun in The Sound of Music.
Mm-hmm.
And the final shot of this movie is a close-up of him just smiling in the nun costume. I just don't understand.
I might have to go back because I honestly don't remember that.
Like, I was like, is this really going to be what The Cut to Black is on?
Like, I remember him singing, but I don't remember that being the last
shot. I'm just trying to picture like someone being like the final shot of Casablanca, the final shot of The Godfather, and then the final shot of The Pacifier. It's just a close-up of Brad Garrett in a nun costume.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, my God.
You should make that your Twitter avatar.
Him in the nun costume?
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
Brad Garrett.
I mean, you know, what has he been up to? You know what I mean?
He was in Fargo season 2, and he was really good at it.
Oh, okay.
Other than that, I don't know. Ray Romano's been the one popping off.
That's true, yeah.
You've seen The Big Sick, right?
Yeah.
He's amazing in that movie. I'm trying to think, if they decided to make a sequel to this movie, the obvious choice would be The Rock, but I would go in a different direction.
Yeah.
And I would get someone like... not even like a big buff action star. I would get like one of the Chris's maybe, or like someone who's been a superhero. Like, you know, but like not someone you expect. Like, I guess you could do like Chris Evans. But I'm thinking like, what if you got like Chadwick Boseman? Like,
that's what Black I was Panther thinking. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Or Anthony Mackie.
Or like even, you know, switch it up. Do a lady. Get Brie Larson in there, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, no. To intersect with our previous miniseries, Charlize.
Oh, yeah. Now we're talking. I mean,
there we go.
Oh, God, she keeps doing these bad movies.
Why money on the table.
That's money, yeah. That is.
You know, the other, I think it was, because I was thinking about how proud I was of myself that I watched this movie in one night, because a lot of the times in the movies we watch, if they're bad, like, I have to watch them over multiple, like, days because like
but I this isn't a bad movie.
Well, no, that's the thing. And I remembered The Last Face, and I like literally for like a solid like 5 minutes just felt like angry. Oh my god, and annoyed.
It took so long.
Because that movie is fucking awful.
So how do you feel now, going back to the writing, how do you feel like how strong was the connection points between him and the kids? Like
I'm gonna rate them. Him and Lulu, the little girl, strongest connection.
with the Girl Scout thing?
Yeah. Him and Peter or the... Or
well, here, no, the thing about Lulu is weird because she has some sick sexual fantasies about him.
Well, I guess I read an IMDb fact for the scene where he's like, she's like, what does she say? She says like, you're cute. I guess like the actress kept saying that to Vin Diesel. Like, you're cute. So they put it in the movie.
That's weird.
He is hot, though. I mean, if I were...
No, Vin Diesel's a rack of meat, you know, right off the grill. You know,
if I were a young prepubescent girl or boy, and Vin Diesel walked into my house, I might my puberty, you know, wires might get intertwined. But all right,
your pubes might get intertwined.
Oh, I just farted again. But his connection with the teenage boy is the second strongest, I think.
I think his is number one, actually.
Because he directs the fucking musical for him.
He directs the musical. He kicks it the...
Martinator's ass.
Gym teacher's ass. And he... you know, he... what was it? He, you know, he likes him... Or he's invested enough to follow him to the production.
Yeah. He helps him... He helps him become who he wants to be as a person.
Right.
And then I'll say just, well, I'll say Lulu, but then his connection with Brittany Snow, I don't know, it only really comes up in that one scene where he's like, it's okay to miss your dad.
Right. And it's a great scene.
Yeah, and that's a great scene. Like, it's a very emotional scene. But
and she does. She's actually really good in that scene.
She is. But then I do like the point he breaks that he busts the party and he makes every single person, like, do something.
Oh, I didn't even. That's pretty great. Yeah.
But, and then his relationship with the baby is good because he literally wipes the baby's ass. I'm going to say it. Peter's fucking useless.
Peter,
the duck comes before Peter, because at least he helps the duck get his foot out of a fucking grate.
Oh, that's
Peter just
true.
Walks around shit in his pants, fucking. Peter's that annoying. Peter's probably gonna breastfeed till he's like 15.
You're right.
He looks like that kind of kid. He's still getting carried around, even though he can clearly fucking walk.
He shits in the ball pool.
He fucking shits in the ball pool. Like, fuck. Peter. Peter, 0 out of 10. I don't like him.
Oh, here's something for us here. Booberries. Do you remember those?
Oh, they had to drive to, like, get them out of state, didn't they?
So they were filming it in Canada, and they drove to Buffalo, New York to get them.
That's near us.
That is near us.
We're not going to say how close, so you can't stalk and kill us. But
that's right, because we live in Ohio.
We do. We live in Iowa. I live in Hawaii.
So yeah, I mean, do you remember booberries? Because watching this movie, I wanted a bowl of booberries.
I have chocolate every year.
I asked you about.
Well, it's the same,
about,
it's the same.
I asked you about Booberry.
It's the same brand. It's the same thing. Like Count Chocula, Booberry, and Frankenberry. And then there's a fourth unsung one with a wolf, a werewolf,
that comes out sometimes. I'm reading this IMDb fact right here. The duck actually bit Vin Diesel's ear.
That motherfucker.
He was doing it totally method.
That motherfucker. How dare you bite Vin Diesel?
Let's see if there's anything good here.
That duck can burn in hell.
Oh, so Adam Shankman is the driving instructor.
Oh, they didn't really leave an impression on me.
He had like a little mustache. He was bald.
Adam Shankman's a guy who I'm pretty confident that like I could make a movie better than him.
Than who?
Adam Shankman.
You think you can make a movie better than the Pacifier?
I think the Pacifier is great as it is, and I don't know.
I think it's probably his best work.
Oh, I mean, look at what else they're up against, but. You know, I am convinced that they made a sequel to this somehow, because I swear to God, I'm going to go on IMDb. There's a movie starring Jackie Chan. Obviously, he almost starred in this movie.
Yep.
That is almost identical to this movie. So keep the conversation going. But I'm going to find out about this.
So going back to the Jackie Chan thing, let's just go to the Pacifier.
The Rock was almost in it too, wasn't he?
Oh, I don't know. That would be great. Let's just
So there was a movie in 2010 called The Spy Next Door. Former CIA agent Bob Ho takes on his toughest assignment to date, looking after his girlfriend's three kids.
Wait, that's not the sequel though.
It's not the sequel, but like I remember even like when I was younger and like it came out, I was like, is that the next Pacifier movie?
Because
it's got Billy Ray Cyrus in it.
This says, now this is another one of Vin Diesel's, probably, he probably went on Instagram and said this, but he says in 2015, Vin Diesel said that a sequel was in the works.
Ooh. What could you do with a sequel? Like,
see, I don't know. Do you focus on Vin Diesel? Obviously, if he says it's in the works, then he's obviously involved.
The other thing somehow I could think of is like, it becomes about his kids.
Does he start a training program for Navy SEALs to babysit kids?
That's actually a really good idea.
Right?
That could be the movie where him and The Rock reconnect. Like, The Rock could be his co-star in the movie.
Now, I know...
Can we make one of our goals of this podcast to be to squash the beef between The Rock and Vin Diesel?
That would be fantastic.
That would be, because it hurts my heart that two people we love so much do not love each other.
I know. What didn't you like about this movie?
Well, I mentioned the... I feel like I mentioned something. Well, I don't like the twist with the army general. I don't think it's... I think it just comes out of nowhere.
Like, right. It doesn't hold a lot of water. The only validation he gives is, oh, North Korea pays better.
I don't think the neighbor suddenly being bad guy... I guess maybe, like, I'm more sensitive now to, like, oh, of course the minority neighbors were evil all along. Like, you know, maybe it's me being too, like, you know... Like, you know, Woke 2020 or whatever. But, like, when it happened, I was like, oh, that's kind of boring. But, I don't like Peter. Peter's a little fuckhead. He just walks around, shits his pants, drinking juice pot. Peter is the kind of kid that makes me hate kids. I inherently like kids. I think kids are cool. I want to have kids someday. But when I see kids like Peter... I bet you his hands are sticky all the time.
Oh, my God, so sticky. Like, I imagine he's eating waffles.
With God, Jesus. I bet you he's the kind of kid who, like if the other kids, like, bump into him on the playground, he starts fucking wailing, like, me, me, me.
Yeah, uh-huh.
God, fucking Peter. Peter brings this movie down a star just because I hate him so much. I've never hated a child more than I hate Peter in this movie.
How many stars do you give it?
I haven't rated it yet, but I'm leaning towards 3 stars.
That's what I gave it as well.
What you got to remember, people, like, a 3 out of 5 is good. Like, people are like, oh, only 3 stars. It's 3 out of 5, you know?
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, and it's an enjoy. I'm glad. I feel like a couple, like, I don't know, sometimes, at least with, like, the Charlize series, we're stuck talking about a lot of the same movies with the criteria we give. I'm glad that with Vin Diesel, like,
I mean, just in the first, you know, I mean, we're almost done with them, but all the movies we've talked about have been
very different.
Very different. It's been really fun to talk about them.
Animated movie. You got a weird sports action movie. You got a science fiction movie. You've got, what else have we talked about? Man Apart, revenge thriller. We got a family comedy. Yeah. Whatever the fuck Babylon AD is.
Then you Furious 7. I'm not excited for that at all.
That is, I am not excited.
That's the next one, right?
Yeah, Jesus Christ. That's the movie that was, I feel like, so poorly received that Vin Diesel, like, went out of the public eye.
Do you want to hit me with the Vin questions?
Is Vin Diesel good in this movie?
I say yes.
He is incredible in this movie.
Because he's clearly, I don't know if he's bringing... 100%, but I would definitely say he's bringing 90, 85.
I'd say he's bringing 100%. I think he is great in this movie. Like, I look into that man's eyes, and, like, I believe that he is a man who is both dedicated to his mission. Mm-hmm. I know I look at the ceiling a lot when I talk. He's dedicated to his mission, and he is dedicated to the love of these children.
And just the way that he yells out military commands.
It's believed. If he yelled those at me, I would stand upright and be like, stand hut.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, more. I got to ask the rest of the questions. Do you think this movie was good for his career?
I mean, he hasn't done anything like it since.
I'd say in terms of, like a financial success, yes. But in terms of, like, you're right, he didn't do any more family things.
But he has it in his wheelhouse.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
So I think if he wants to, he can.
Like, I'd say, I wouldn't even say, because the next family-ish thing he does is Groot, but I don't think James Gunn was like, hey, I love the pacifier, you want to voice Groot? Like,
right, even though that is the first thing that everyone says to him.
Yeah, I love the pacifier. All right, were you gassing up on Diesel with this movie?
100%. I got a full tank. I mean,
I've got a full tank and then 2 of those red gas barrels in the back.
Oh, I bought a few Red Bulls for the road.
Especially because Babylon AD, I'm probably going to run out. So.
Oh, yeah. Yep. We're going to be stranded on a desert road.
We're going to be stranded next to a cactus, and we're going to start having hallucinations and name it Carl.
Yeah.
All right. So, Vin Diesel.
The man. I thought it was great. I might watch it again.
It's a fun movie. When I have kids, I will show them this movie.
Oh, 100%.
Unless then my kids turn out to be Peter, then I will put them up for adoption.
I will show your kids this movie.
Uncle Ross wants to show you the pacifier again. I don't fucking want it.
All right. I mean, that's I don't know what else I got for you. Patreon.com/notnewmovie.
Twitter.com/notnewmovie.
Yeah, we're always accepting new followers.
Chappie Bounty Hunt still out there, you know?
Still out there. I don't think it's ever going to happen at this point.
I don't. I truly, it's become like my, like Moby Dick. Like, I know he's in there. It's been confirmed that he's in there. Do I need to fucking get an interview with Steven Spielberg myself?
I think Jesus Christ. that is now our main goal for this podcast, is just to get to a point where we can interview Steven Spielberg and get the answers.
God damn it. Like, it should be this hard.
Do you have to watch the movie frame by frame? Has that already been done?
I don't know. I mean, that might come to that. Maybe I have to fucking buy Ready Player One, sit there frame by fucking frame looking for Chappie.
Because it could just be random frame in the middle of the movie. It's just a picture of Chappie for one frame that just pops up and goes away.
Jesus Christ. But anyways.
And he goes, he's in there.
Next week, we have Babylon AD, a movie.
We're going back in time.
That I can almost guarantee is going to be dog shit.
Do you think Vin Diesel talks?
In Babylon AD?
Yeah, was this before man had the ability to talk?
Oh, because of the date. I don't know.
What do you mean because of the date? It's when the movie takes place.
That's what I'm saying. The movie is like in Babylon AD or whatever. I don't even know
what that means. Do you think he's just going to talk in grunts?
Well, do you know what you seen anything from this movie?
No, not at all.
It's a science fiction movie. It's not a caveman movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Remember, okay. It's one of those movies, even as a kid, I was like, that looks bad.
The only thing I've seen, maybe I'm thinking of a different movie. Am I thinking of something BC? What's the movie with the poster?
Oh, you're thinking of 10,000 BC.
I'm thinking of 10,000 BC.
Roland Emmerich film. Yeah, no, that's what I was thinking of.
Okay.
I would love to see Vin Diesel fucking hunt a woolly mammoth.
Right? That's what
Hell
I'm
thinking
of with
the
spear.
No, this movie, if I had to guess, I'm just going to guess. I haven't seen it, so I don't know what it's about. I think it's about some future
society.
I think it's about some future society where, like, Vin Diesel has to protect some girl. I don't know. The poster is, like, them standing in between two, like, buildings or some shit. I don't know. Huh. Well, we'll suffer through that next week, but we'll know that there's a... I was about to say there's a glory hole at the end. There's a glorious... I guess glory holes are fun.
There's a glorious hole.
There's a glorious hole at the end, because then after that we get to watch Furious 7. But
yeah.
I am extremely melancholy right now, because we should be gearing up to go see Fast 9.
I know.
It's supposed to come
out
this
month.
And
that was the whole point of this show.
But it's okay. I know next year... we'll get Fast 9. Yeah, but then after Furious 7, we're going to do a Riddick episode. So you might want to start watching the Riddick movie.
That's right. You're telling me or them?
You. I mean, everyone.
Okay.
Okay. But so this has been the Not New Movie Review 2020. Thank you for getting gassy with us.
Good night. Oh, wait. What is it? Good night, little panda. Right?
Doing Brad Garrett voice. Good night, little panda.
Good night, Ray.